Many years ago, I was working with some brothers from the UK. They came in our country, in Moldova, and they wanted to help us in the ministry there, and they brought a lot of bags, food bags, and we had to carry them, take them to some poor families. And one of my friends, he knew a little bit English, and the next day he said, "Oh, I have a pain in my arms today." And I asked why, and he said, "Because I've been practicing my English all day." And I said, "How is that possible? You know, when you speak and you use your mouth, I said, "I don't have, you know, I don't know too many words, so I had to use my hands and do many signs." My English is so poor. I'm still learning, and I'm in the process of learning this beautiful language. It's so hard for me to understand many things, but at least I'm in the process, and I hope once I'll be able to share the gospel more richly in this way. And you know, in the Bible, signs are related, or signs come with miracles. And by the end of this message, I hope, if I'll not have enough words, there'll be some signs. If will not be signs, then maybe a miracle will happen to you to understand what I wanted to say. So, 1st of March 2017. No, actually it was the 3rd of March, I came for the first time in the UK. And I remember all the time when you have to travel somewhere and you have to be in a new country, there are some feelings, you know, some expectations, and everything was happening in those days, you'll remember for maybe entire your life. And I came here, the first church I was visiting here was Church Road Baptist Church. And I think God is so amazing in His plan, because He is He puts the right people in the right place in the right moment. So I think He chose with a specific His purpose, this church to be visited by me. Because you've been, for me, then representing all churches in England. So I was amazed, and I praise God for you, and I'm praying that God will continue to work in this church and through this church all around in these places. You know what's interesting? I discovered that in England, the churches, the name of the churches are by the streets. Yeah, it's George Road Baptist Church. And I love that, because my name also is George. So, but another thing, what is amazing for me, is that it's not by, you know, it is good that you have the name of your church according to this place. God chose for us a specific place for certain times, and we are here for our neighbors, for our friends all around, colleagues, mates, workmates, all around, to share the gospel. And, you know, in order to have a name, and we can have a name, and you have a name here also in this building, it's Emmaus, but it's good also to be rooted in this place and be salt and light for Jesus. Amen. I just read the passage from Philippians, because we, with Emmaus, we are studying the Philippians. Also, because in the last time, God spoke to me. First, He's speaking to me through this epistle and through this word. And it was amazing for me to discover how powerful is God working in His disciples, not then, 2,000 years ago, but even now. He's working with the same power. And it's powerful to see how God is moving and He is doing miracles. Sometimes we expect to see miracles in different ways. We expect to see something, you know, unseen until now. Sometimes we think miracles is something which will draw our attention. But sometimes, or many times, God's miracles are working different, in different ways. And the same usual things, we think that's for granted. We take, like, for example, air, we breathe, and we say that's, we take it for granted. But this is a miracle, especially when you have a problem with your lungs. Have you thought about that? For people who have a problem, a health issue, a health problem, and they need air, and they can't breathe. Sometimes God is working through usual things to do unusual things. So Paul, he is the author of this letter, and he was writing to Philippians, a group of believers from Philippi, who he visited them many years ago. So before he was writing this epistle, he was writing this epistle to them. And there was something special in this church. If he, in all his letters, for you know, letters, his epistles to Romans or Corinthians, or there's a lot of theology there, about it's abundant of teachings there. In this epistle, you'll feel and you'll see something more simple, something like more practical. And actually, the only thing he's trying somehow to bring front is the gospel. You know, Bible is like a diamond with different facets, and you can look to different passages in the scripture from different point of view, and it's the same with Philippians. But when we look to Paul's letter to Philippians from many perspectives, we can look and see different things, but many scholars would agree that one topic is more evident in all this letter, and this is the gospel. And how he's trying to bring the gospel, and how he's live this gospel, how he's breathing this gospel, how he's speaking this gospel, how he is feeling, how he's dreaming this gospel. It's not about the gospel itself here. It's about the amazing task to apply the gospel in our lives and to take it out to our neighbors, to our friends. You know, a Christian is presented in many ways throughout the Bible. In some places, you'll find we are presented like children of God. So we are like those children who are asking their father, their parents for favors, and they will ask for candies maybe. I do have four children, and the little one is asking all the time for candies. he's still asking me. And, you know, sometimes we have to be like children in our sincere faith and our heart to ask Jesus, to ask God, and to insist on our prayers. From other perspective, we are presented in the Bible as soldiers. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says there, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier in Christ, of Christ Jesus." So we are in a battle. We are in a fight. We are in a war. And we live in this world where is the spiritual, there is a spiritual war. The other side, he said, also we are like athletes, and we are to win, and we have to compete according to the rules. But also in the same passage, he says, we are like hardworking farmers. And now, this is an interesting example, and this is an interesting way to see a believer. We are like a hard worker. So all of us, we have that experience, how to work. And we work in order to live, in order to have food on our tables and to care of our families. We have to work. But Paul here says, like a hard worker, you have to work every day in kingdom of God. So how to be a good worker of gospel? How to take the gospel and work it out around you. The first thing what Paul was remembering about this church, about these brothers and sisters, was they've been partnering with him in the gospel. You can see this in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. For all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. So everybody, any one of us can do something for the gospel. It is not just to wait and, you know, this is preacher's job. You know, Brother Alan, he did a good job. Now Daniel will take the place and he will do that job. But God expects from us to do the same and have the same feeling for the gospel, to take it and preaching out, not from the pulpit. You can preach the gospel wherever you are, whatever you do. So whatever you do, you can preach the gospel. Also, in Philippians, there was a lot of troubles. And after Paul went, there were a lot of things happened in that church. And that church grew up, but at the same time, you know, as any church, healthy church, has struggles also. They've been struggled by some people there, false teachers, kind of false teachers. They came and they tried to bring another teaching to this church, and they've been confused. And at one point, they've been so confused, and because even Paul was blamed, and Paul was presented to that church like someone who is not the right person there, and he's not the right person to take the gospel. And they had changed somehow in their hearts feelings about him. For that, at the end of this letter, he's saying, now I'm glad that you changed your feelings back. You feel the same of me like you've been feeling previously. So you came closer to me. And that church, they've been struggling, and then Paul said, it's interesting how the gospel, when you bring the gospel and the kingdom of God is advancing, there is opposition to. So all the time when God is working in some places, in some lives, there is evil who come and he's trying to destroy. So he tried to destroy that work there. But was interesting how Paul was looking to this situation. How we are looking to these situations when we are struggling with some things. We have issues in our lives. And sometimes we are asking ourselves, why God happened that to me? Why is happening that to me? Why is that? Because I tried hard to do your work. And, you know, our expectations and our feelings like God will take care of us. And he is. He truly does care of us. But sometimes God allows us to go through some troubles, some trials, just to increase his work. And Paul said, you know, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to what? To advance the gospel. And what happened? Now Paul was old. The older man, Paul, now was, what do you think he was? He was in jail. He was in prison. He was there. At the end of his life, when maybe many of us will expect to have some rest, he was there in jail. And in that place, he was trying to do what he could do with whatever he had to advance again the gospel. But from a human perspective, when we look to that situation, we see Paul, and we would say, and many of those times said, oh, now it's finished. Now we lost our courage. We look to this man. He was so bold in the gospel. He brought, you know, he encouraged us. He took the gospel, whatever he, and now he's in chains. What he can do? And maybe some of his enemies were glad to hear that he was there. But Paul took a different perspective. And he said, I would like to see on this situation, not with my eyes, my human eyes. I would take God's eyes and I would look at this situation in a different way. And he said, I would tell you how God is changing all things around me, and he, if my hands are in chains, the gospel can't be in chains. It can't be stopped. Actually, any impedimenta become opportunities in God's hands. And here, he said, in prison, I have guards. They are staying with me all day and all night, and they have to stay there, and they have to speak the gospel. They don't have to go anywhere. They can't go anywhere. They are here. Sometimes we speak the gospel and we try to tell the gospel to some people around. They are, okay, that's good, I appreciate. And they try somehow to avoid the discussion. They leave. But those people, they've been there. They had to stay there, and Paul had to tell them the gospel. And many of them came to know Christ in this way. And those guards were guards who were serving to Caesar, to the king. And they brought the gospel there, in a place where not many people could be there. So you see how God is changing things? And he's using all our trials, all our struggles. It's like a deep valley. It makes like a, you know, a ramp, a big ramp, to jump out from there. I was thinking, sometimes I feel my life is going like in a deep valley, and I said, oh, it's so hard to go there. But I have to remember that this valley, as deep as it is, it brings us a great opportunity to jump in a ramp and to take more advantage from this. At the end, what was interesting, that Paul not was just have that perspective of this gospel, not just had experienced this power of gospel, but he said, this gospel shaped my mind, my thinking. And actually, this gospel brings me meaning. This task God gave to me, what he was calling to do, or was he calling me to do, this is entire my life here. And if I will die, if I will die, this will be a gain. If I have to live, that is Christ. And if I'll have days and God will provide for me days to live, then that means I have to speak about Christ. But if I will die, I will not waste this moment. I have to somehow take this moment and use it for God. About 10 years ago in our church in Moldova, a young family came to be part of the church. And they've been so enthusiastic of God's works, and they've been quite new Christian. They received Christ a few years ago, and from that point, and they came and asked us what we can do for Lord. And, you know, we were asking, what was your involvement in the other church where you have been? We haven't been in another church, so what we can do? Can you sing? No. Can you help, people around? Yes, we can do. And so we tried to find out what they can do for Christ. And they moved for a while. They moved from our city to the next village, so right close to the city. And they said, you know, in this village, we don't have any evangelical church. Actually, there is no church in this village. And we'd like to see here a church in the future. We'd like to see here believers, people who would, you know, pray God and they will turn to God. And they started to work somehow. they've been helping poor people, they've been sharing the gospel to their neighbors. But soon, after I think 1 or 2 years, something happened to their family, something they didn't expect. Because they've been young, about, I think, Mihai, that was his name, Mihai was about 27. And Svetlana, his wife, was about 25. And they discovered he has cancer. Now, they had 2 children. You know, that was a pain to find out this news, bad news. And then they've been trying hard to find solution to go in different countries to treat, but at the end, they said, if God doesn't want, we'll accept it like this. When Mihai was close, and he was in his bed laying down, and he called his wife, and he said, you know what? I had this heart for this village. We wanted so hard to share the gospel, but it seems God didn't want us to do many things. But he said, I have an idea. In our country, in Moldova, when there is a funeral, if there is a small village or small community, almost all of them, they will come to that funeral. It doesn't matter. They do have a relationship to those people or not, to that family, or they will come. And he said, I know, and I feel like I have to pass away. But I would like one thing. I don't want to waste my death. I want it to be, I want it to put in God's hand and Him to do a great ministry there. And I remember those days. That was a day with sorrow, pain, tears. And we've been there. And someone from that village said, never at that funeral, at any funeral, there weren't so many people there. It's about 300 people around. And they've been there listening to the gospel. And we've been preaching. And they heard the word of God. You know, Paul was thinking about his life. He said, I catched every moment, every opportunity. And if I'll die, I would like, even this moment, not to waste it. I would like to put it in God's hand, and He has to work with this. He has to spread the gospel. So there is no impediment to stop the gospel, because God is taking an advantage. God is working in our lives too. Paul was like a butterfly. Many years ago, I was in a camp, and it was night and dark outside. We've been in a fire camp. And suddenly we saw like many insects and some night butterflies flying to light. They've been drawn by light. But suddenly we discovered that they went there in the middle of flames, and they've been burnt out. And I was thinking, how much price they will pay for this light. They've been drawn by light, and they are to pay with their lives. Paul was like that. He was drawn by gospel. He was drawn by this power, by this light, brightness of gospel. And he was ready to die even for gospel to be taken out. Just for us now to think what I'm doing for the gospel to be spread out around me. I'll share the last thing with you. It's I think I've been not sure, long or short. The last time when I was preaching in Moldova using another language, this is my first time I'm preaching in English. The last time when I was preaching in Russian, I tried. The audience being so happy, you know why? because I was short. when I came, I came in March last year, and I came a second time, actually a third time was that, I came in August with my family, all my family, and that was a challenge for us, especially how we'll deal here with entire my family, me, my wife, and four children, and little George with his health issues. But praise God, God chose in a right place, right time, right people like you, and many of you are praying for us and being alongside with us, and we are so thankful for what God did through you. And I was thinking, I think at the end of August, now I have somehow to find a job, and I have to work to provide for my family. Of course, I'm now in this process to be involved in the ministry, and I'm the ministry, so with Emmaus here, Birmingham, we planted a church started a new ministry, Emmaus ministry in Northampton, but at the same time, I have to work, and I said, okay, let me try this. What I've done before, I was just a teacher. I was teaching in Bible schools, and I was a pastor. I was involved in the church, and not too many other things. And I said, what to do here? And I was asking God in prayer what to do and discussing with many people. And then I walked around to agencies, and I tried. And they've been asking me, what you did before? I said, I've been in a church. What you did? I've been teaching. Okay, so they tried with me some possibilities, and someone gave a possibility to work in an office, in administration, in close to a warehouse. But they had a problem, and I had a problem, actually, with their offer. It was I had to work all Sundays, or at least two Sundays per month, and I said, no way, that's not my way to take a job. And then I said, I will take a challenge. Let me go there in a warehouse to work as a simple worker there, because I would like to meet people there. And you know what I discovered? In our place where we work, there are maybe, I've counted, 15 nations. So I met the Bulgarians, so most people from Europe, Jamaican, from Pakistan, from India, from even Russia. People from everywhere, they are there. And I just said, you know what? In the past, England sent a lot of missionaries out. They sent, I think in the history, you've been sending missionaries all over in this world. I'm not sure what's the situation now, but you know what is God doing now? He sends the nations here, and you have all of them here around you. So what to do then? You have to accomplish this, accomplish this great commission. Go and speak the gospel. And I started to share the gospel there through my colleagues. And it's amazing how God is working. One time, I remember I was sharing the gospel with someone from here. So he's real British from here. He was born here. He was his father, his grandfather, and his grand-grandfather. He looked to me and said, I've heard it. You are someone from the church. You're there. Yeah. I said, why they kicked you out? I said, they didn't. I took this decision to be here, to work and to meet people like you. And I've been discussing and sharing the gospel. I don't want to tell you that it's easy. I had many challenges. Even though in my mind came picture of Christ, you know, how Jesus Christ came in this world and he took humble this position to take a human body and to be like us and to be tempted in many ways. I'll not compare with Jesus, but I was encouraged. But in many times I was thinking, sometimes something in me wanted to say, you know what, this is not real me. You can go there, www.church.com, and you'll see me there. But no, I'm not so important. what is important for me and for my life is to take the Word of God and live it and apply it in my life. And let that people around see the Word of God, see the light of God, see the true gospel, not words, not just words, but action. You know how the Hebrews will say to word. In Hebrews, word is dabar. Dabar means action. When God said something, actually that thing had happened. This is the Word of God. How we take it out, how we apply in our lives. I'll invite you now to pray. Let's bow our heads and come in front of our Father and ask Him to give us wisdom. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that You took us from this world and You gave us a new life. And You've been drawing us to this light, and we saw this light. Make our lives to be a light for people around us. Give us a new perspective on things which are going around us, and give us Your eyes to see even trials, even those hard times when we live and we are crossing through them, to have Your eyes and see them as advantage. Give us strength. You know that we are humans. Many times we are burdened with many things. But in the Lord Jesus, we can be victorious. Give us the victory. Amen.